The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
You are listening to Audio of Interest, coming to you on the FlyPod.com New Media Network. I am your host, Gary Puckett, and thank you for joining us. My guest today is Cameron Shandursky. He is a knowledgeable insurance professional with a chartered property casualty underwriter designation. He holds a bachelor's and MBA degree from Xavier University and is currently a doctoral candidate in leadership studies. Listeners, our show topic today is driverless vehicles, or as they are often called, autonomous vehicles. As technology continues to advance its impact on transportation, there are many implications at play, and no doubt many adjustments coming to the way we live our daily lives. My guest will be joining us shortly. Our media network operates with a dedicated team of 35 individual show hosts, 80 syndication partners, and 17 media domain platforms. Our studios provide targeted on-demand media programming for over 3,300 small communities around the country. Audio of Interest is a show format we offer throughout the nation, and we attempt to bring you conversations pertaining to unique and interesting topics. Well, Cameron, I welcome you to our show, Audio of Interest.
Thank you, sir.
That's a pleasure having you on. You have what I would call more than just a casual interest in the impact that autonomous vehicles will have on our daily lives once they become commonplace, because you work in the insurance profession and your company will surely be affected by this emerging technology. So can you describe for me, what does the insurance industry estimate will be the effect on vehicle insurance premiums specifically as this technology becomes the norm?
The impact will be tremendous. As many studies have shown, 93% of collisions are caused by one component. That's you and me, the driver. So when you take that component out, that leaves 7% of mechanical failures and blown tires to make up for the remainder. So we expect auto accidents to drop by about 81% when the entire American fleet converts over to autonomous vehicles. Once that gets rolling, it'll take about 8 years. That's the typical turnover for the American fleet. But once it happens again, it'll drop by about 81%. Our industry expects, some consultants believe, the total property and casualty premium will drop by about 26%. That's about a 69% drop in auto premium. So in my opinion, the consumer is going to win one. A lot of people feel they're always losing to the insurance company whenever they have a claim, the rates go up. This is one the consumer's going to benefit tremendously by.
Yeah. This is just extraordinary in the magnitude that the impact will have. And I suppose there are still yet uncovered or undiscovered areas that will affect us. But who in particular do you think will be most affected by the transition to this new technology?
Well, I'll start with the consumer and then give you some other commercial examples as well. Think about it. When the driver is the machine, teenagers won't pay more rates and higher rates than their parents. Everybody knows that boys pay more than younger female drivers, but they're all going to pay the same. And elderly drivers will not lose their independence because the machine, again, is doing the driving rather than the 80-plus-year-old whose eyesight and reaction time may be diminishing. So I think it's wonderful for the consumer en masse. I think the DUI is probably going to go away. I'm not driving, officer. The machine is. So there's a lot of changes there. A lot of industries that somewhat depend upon those accidents are going to be affected. Body shops, attorneys, chiropractors, ballet services are going to go away. There's no need for them when the machine can drop you off at the restaurant and go park itself. So there's going to be a number of both individuals and industries affected by this.
So I assume from what you've said there that it would be accurate to say that police accident reports, EMS responses, and the related property damage. I mean, these aspects of our lives could be drastically changed in a huge way, right?
Expected drop by 81%.
Wow. Well, what about the need for expensive real estate in our inner cities for like parking lots and things like that? Will parking garages become a thing of the past, do you think?
Not a thing of the past, but they'll move to the outskirts of the city where land is cheaper. Why would you spend prime real estate for parking when, again, the machine can drop you off, drive 20 minutes to the outskirts of town where it's cheap, where land, and they may not even have to build several stories. They just buy acreage for parking where you don't have to go vertical. So I do see a lot of things changing, but not necessarily eliminated.
Have you studied the possible societal changes that may take place as a result of autonomous vehicles? I mean, have you looked into it that deeply?
Not in tremendously deeply, more just in industry discussion and what we expect to see in the future. There are some studies that expect the autonomous car to have the equal impact on society as the Model T did, which is pretty big. If you think about perhaps children in diapers today won't be buying cars. They'll simply ride share whenever they need one. You've got an autonomous vehicle that rather than sitting dormant 80% of the time the way our cars do now, as long as it's fueled, it can be making you money. So get that car on the road, driving others, picking up others. We'll see a transition from personal auto ownership to commercial fleets. That's what the insurance industry is expecting to see over time, is that the people simply won't buy the car, won't go through the expense of buying, insuring, maintaining the car. They'll just use the app on their phone to ride share whenever they need it, even if it's daily. They can set up a recurring trip.
That is just so wild to think about. Well, let me change directions a little. We already have the Ubers and the Lyfts of the world. So would this driverless technology affect all these companies such as Uber to more or less eliminate, I'm assuming, one of their biggest operating cost components, right?
You're absolutely right. In fact, I asked that question to an Uber driver, and he says, we all are aware we're going to lose our jobs. Uber's operating at a loss with the expectation that saving on labor, payroll, and payroll taxes and those expenses will put them in the black.
Wowee. Well, as we ponder the whole idea of autonomous vehicles, I would guess that most of us become focused on the transporting of people. But what about freight? Do you see this driverless environment changing that area of transportation as well?
Absolutely. In fact, just this morning, I saw a headline that Volvo has come out with their, I believe it's called Vira, a driverless semi-truck with no cab. So it almost looks like one of those flat vehicles that pull an airplane on a tarmac with a tractor trailer behind it. So, yes, that's coming as well. And if you think about it, the long-haul trucker is very threatened with his job or her job, because highway driving is the easiest to program in this project. So I foresee long-haul drivers, unfortunately, losing their jobs first. Then they'll have to transition to the what's called the last mile, which is the more difficult to program for autonomous vehicles. So, you know, the local Sprint deliverers, you'll see them transition to that side of the industry. And then, unfortunately, they'll lose their job again once the programming gets improved to be able to handle the last mile as well. So it's only a matter of time, unfortunately, for driving, the driving industry to be taken over by these vehicles to save on all that cost. They don't have to take an 8-hour break. They don't have to keep logs. All you have to do is keep fuel in the vehicle, and it's making revenue for you.
That makes sense. Well, I am very curious. So just how soon do experts anticipate this technology becoming, mainstream or common in its usage?
It's interesting because I started studying this in 2013, and it seems like the 10-year horizon keeps moving 10 years away. So in 2013, it was 10 years away. Here in 2018, it's still 10 years away. It's just a matter of, we see the technologies kind of culminating where, you know, Ford had the parking assist for 10, 15 years now. Now you see the braking assist and the blind spot warnings. All these little disparate parts are coming together to eventually, you know, they're working the bugs out of each individual part to eventually come up with the autonomous vehicle. I did read that one of the major players said that 2021 vehicles wouldn't have steering wheels. I think that was a little bit pie in the sky, but it's not far off. Your grandchildren probably won't have their hands on the wheel the entire time.
Well, what would you say, because it's kind of an American thing, I don't know how unique it is, if it is unique to Americans, but what would you say to those listeners out there who would say or think, I'll never give up my steering wheel? I mean, what do you say to people like that? I mean, how are they going to be brought along for the trip, you know, so to speak?
Well, I've had to unfortunately say it to my wife because she's of that opinion. I think it's a financial one, frankly, you know. Most parents, when they have a teenager, they put the teenager in the older car to save money on premium. Well, what's going to happen when the older car is more expensive to insure than the new one because of the safety factor alone? I think it's a financial decision that people will say, hey, for my own financial well-being, I have to transition. There's always going to be the classic car owner that wants that feel, that experience, but he or she will pay a commensurate rate, you know, for that experience. I think the drop in collisions will, through insurance premiums, force most people to make that transition.
It's almost as if market forces and pricing will, like, price them into submission.
Absolutely. And again, what if you're facing, you're in your 80s and you're facing not being able to drive versus maintaining your independence? That's another market force that's going to make that decision for you.
Yeah, that's huge. Not that I've faced it, but I mean, I hear about it all the time on the part of older drivers or individuals with older parents. Well, how do you think the next generation of drivers will differ in their mindset, say, over and above their parents or grandparents? I mean, because you hear so much today about so many young people not even getting their driver's license. I mean, they just don't think it's important, where historically that was like considered some personal milestone, you know?
I agree. And I see it in my own book of business. I see young people simply not in a hurry to do it. Frankly, I think getting their car won't provide that feeling of independence because they already have it with their phone. I can have a Uber driver pick me up and take me wherever I want. I can have an Uber driver pick up me and my friends to go out for an evening. I'm not dependent on my parents. They don't need the car for that independence anymore. They already have it. So I think the car is going to become more of an appliance rather than a rite of passage or a expression of who they are. I think Scion hit the nail on the head several years ago when they made an inexpensive car that you can order lots of different customizable parts for it to express who you are. When you don't own the car, you're not going to do that.
Yeah. Wow. It sure is becoming a very different world. Well, Cameron, before we wrap things up, I was wondering if you had any final comments or points that you would like to share with our listeners.
Sure. There's one item. There's a definite pattern that all new automobile technologies follow. Think about the airbag when it first came out. We start with experimentation, you know, the NTSB and government entities support experimentation of new safety technologies. Again, using the airbag as an example, you start out with experiments and then you go into premium vehicles and high-end vehicles, high-end options, and then it becomes more mainstream, and then eventually it becomes government mandated. Right now we're going through that with traction control. If you recall, when it came out, it was a high-end option, and then it became commonplace, and then soon it's going to be government mandated that all new vehicles have it. So we're going to see the same pattern here with autonomous vehicles. It's going to be high-end like Tesla or Cadillac or what have you. Then it becomes mainstream. And eventually the government's going to say the safety is too great to ignore. All cars are going to do this unless you have a classic permit or something like that. One other point of interest, it's newsworthy across the country when one person passes away due to a Tesla autopilot accident. Yet there are 30,000 plus deaths a year on our highway that nobody even bats an eye about because that's simply the price of having this freedom. Well, we can get rid of 81% of those through autonomy. So we need to keep a perspective. When someone says, oh, look, Tesla had an accident in autopilot, we shouldn't do it. That's one unfortunate accident for an individual where we lose 30,000 a year in the existing technology.
Well, Cameron, this has been both a fun and interesting conversation today, I must admit. The concept of autonomous vehicles seems somewhat bizarre at this point in time, but I think, as we both know, the technology for achieving this is becoming closer every day. Soon will likely be perfected to the point where it simply will become a reality as the technology is within our grasp as a society. Well, I have truly enjoyed this today, and I'm sure our audience is equally impressed with what is evolving in the transportation industry, and the information you've shared here has been just wonderful. I wish you the best of success in your career endeavors, and I want to thank you for joining me today here on Audio of Interest.
My pleasure.
Listeners, if you find this topic and conversation interesting, share the link to this show with your friends. Just copy and post the link to this show on your social media pages. We sincerely thank our network underwriters for their support and for making this show possible. If you have a specific question or comment about today's show, hey, simply email us in studio number 7, anytime 24/7. shout@theflypod.com. So I've been your host, Gary Puckett, and you have been listening to Audio of Interest. Until our next episode, we thank you for joining us and listening in today here on the flypod.com New Media Network.